If the church is in decline, how can we be part of the solution? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Bible-believing churches are struggling in America and elsewhere. Attendance is down, fewer people even claim to be Christians these days, and those who do don't always accept important doctrines of the faith. How can we strengthen the body of Christ? How can we encourage our brothers and sisters? And what does that have to do with Hebrews 10? Here's Jim to conclude his message, Where Forgiveness Rules, Part 2.
While we are seeking to draw nigh to God, to experience and to appropriate the things that are ours in Jesus Christ, the full forgiveness of our sins with a clean conscience and all of those things, while we are absolutely confessing our hope in the future, I know where I'm going. I know where my inheritance is. I know that if I died today, I'd be richer than if I live on this earth another day. I know that. Absolutely know that. Nothing can separate. I know that. So let's not be mute about it. Let's not be embarrassed about it. Let's put it out there. And then, in relationship with other believers, to try to stimulate, to encourage other believers to what? To love. Love is a risk. Love is doing what Jesus did. Coming to a world that doesn't want you. Saying things that they don't want to hear. Making promises that they don't want to inherit, they don't want to appropriate, but stating them because they're true. Why? Because you love them. Love is smiling. Love is asking, how are you? Love is appropriating a concern for somebody else's welfare and then doing what you can do to help them receive that welfare. And notice, this is within the community of the believers. The writer is not talking directly about evangelism because the writer knows that if the church, if the believers behaved in this manner, if every one of us in this room who know and love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior could appropriate this thing tonight, by next week, there'd be a whole subsection of the society out there we would have touched positively. We would have left the fragrance of the presence of Jesus Christ. We would have created curiosity. We would have left an impression that says, you know, being a follower of Jesus Christ makes a radical difference. That's the point. So we are then to be proactive and concerned with each other toward one another in order to promote love and good works. Do the good thing. Do the right thing. Even if they don't deserve it, do the right thing. Do the good thing. Trust God to make your reputation one that says, I don't know what makes her tick. I don't know what makes him tick. But there's something different there, something authentic, something real, something genuine. Verse 25, not staying away from our meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other. We probably ought to spend more of our hour together on Monday night doing just that, just encouraging each other. How you doing? What's happening in your world? Been praying about that request you made last week when I talked to you. Been thinking of how I might be encouraging one another. There's not a lot of encouragement in this world, you know that. There's a lot of put down, a lot of negativism, a lot of criticism, and this is within the church. Within the church, within the body of believers. A lot of envy. A lot of things shouldn't be there. I'm convinced that the most important evangelization tool I have is to bring a friend to meet you all and to let them watch you interact with each other. Let them hear your testimonies. Let them feel your warmth. Let them see that you're genuinely concerned about each other. And my friend will leave this place stunned by what they see, what they hear, what they feel. I was standing right there many, many years ago when we first started our worship services here in the building. It was the end of the third service, and a lady came down the aisle, and she came up and she said, this is her word, she said, "Preacher, I don't understand the thing you said." And she said, "I'm not sure I want to understand it, but I want you to know something. God is in this place." And I said, "How do you know that?" Here's what she said. "I'm a witch. I work for the other side." And she said, "From the time I came in that door out there, I knew there was a spirit present in this room that I could not defeat." How'd she know that? That's God's business. Now, we like to tell those dramatic stories, and we should tell those dramatic stories. I wonder if anybody came here or wherever you worship. I don't know where you worship, but I wonder if anybody came to your church Sunday morning and felt a powerful spirit, saw a pregnant demonstration of genuine love between people who were honestly committed to each other and honestly doing things that showed concern and care and love, that actually put in flesh and blood the invisible one whose name we bear. He cares. He really cares. This past Thursday, and I need to be very careful here so I'll not be fully descriptive. This past Thursday, I was notified by staff that someone had called our church with a request. And the request was they wanted to talk to a pastor. And I was delighted to make the call. For an hour and 40 minutes, I basically listened. Just listened. Just listened. And in the last few moments of that conversation, the Spirit of God gave me words from Scripture to say. I could hear the whole tone of the conversation change instantly. Instantly, the person on the other end said, "Yeah, that's it." Now, that's not because I'm wise. And then the question was, "What was the name of your church again?" Now, take that to mean that that person in the middle of some very, very, very complicated relationships, some very confused situations, didn't want to just hear my explanation. They wanted to see that explanation working. That's what they wanted. That's what this verse is all about. And that's what our meetings are all about. We don't just meet to scratch each other's backs. We don't meet just to, "Hi, how are you?" When we meet, we have the wonderful promise of Jesus Christ, where two or three are gathered together, "I'll be there in your midst." Well, what's he come to do? He comes to animate by his Spirit. He comes to enable us to express his love to each other so that when we leave, we're talking about, "Boy, I could sense the presence of Jesus in that conversation. I could see the love of Jesus Christ in the eyes of that person who was sincerely concerned about my needs." You see, to be the body of Christ means that in our relationship among believers, the Spirit of God has control of our individual hearts and lives, and we are sincerely committed to being a blessing, being an encouragement to one another. Not using each other, but truly being a blessing. My wife and I agreed to help with the care of the children at a one of the holiday services here at the church. I don't have that gift. We were maybe 2 hours with some of those dear children. Here's what impressed me. Two parents, when they picked up their children. See, I remember. That's how impressed it was. Two parents stopped and said, you know, I really appreciate your caring for my children. I really appreciate your investment of time today. Two parents. A room full of kids. When's the last time you thanked someone? Because most of you, you know, when you brought your grandchild, let's go that way. Most of us are maybe beyond our childbearing years. When's the last time you said thanks to an usher? When's the last time you said thanks to a member of the choir? As an aside to all of you who were not here, and this is not criticism, if you were here Sunday morning and you heard those two drop-dead gorgeous black young women sing, wasn't that phenomenal? Yes. I wanted to stand up on the pew and clap till my hands burned. Yeah. What a phenomenal gift they gave to us, so sweetly, so carefully. So, did you say thanks? I mean, how about the people that got the coffee ready? Did you stop and say, man, thanks for being here to do this? How about the lady who put those covers on the table? Let's get over ourselves and come to be the body of Christ. Let's come not so much to get as to give. Let's come not so much to be ministered unto as to minister to others. And I believe we'll discover that Jesus Christ will ignite our hearts, change our attitudes, wherever you choose to worship, wherever that is. I am not at all camped on that question. I'm saying wherever you go to meet the body of believers, and that word means, it comes from the word synagogue. So it's talking about a weekly meeting. That's what it's talking about. Wherever you go on a weekly basis to be part of a fellowship of believers, go to give, go to encourage, go to stimulate, go to serve. Don't go to sit and play judge. Don't go to sit and be a critic. And all the more so as you see the day drawing near. What's that mean? What does that mean? That phrase, the day, is talking about when Jesus calls the church home. That's what that's talking about. It's talking about when Jesus begins to pluck, open the seven seals from his heavenly throne. That's what that means. It means when Michael and his angels kick the devil and his angels out of heaven. That's what it means. It means when the Antichrist and his cohort gather all the nations of the world to the field of Armageddon. That's what it means. It's talking about the day of the Lord. And the writer, writing 2,000 years ago almost, said it's close, it's drawing near, it's coming. Do I believe that? This Sunday, wherever you go to worship feeling that this is my last Sunday on earth with these people. Go ahead, do it. Just do it. Now, I know, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, I get paid to be good, and you're good for nothing. I know that. I got that a long time ago. I know I got that. But one of the advantages of being on the spot, one of the advantages of being a pastor is you really go to serve. I'm sad that many of my colleagues lose the joy of that. I apologize for a time when that wasn't evident in my own ministry in time. But don't go to sit so sour. Go to serve, go to stimulate, go to help, go to be Jesus in skin. Our Heavenly Father, that's what this passage is all about. It's telling us that Jesus sits at the right hand and His Spirit dwells within us, and we have access to Him, but we're not going there just to gloat. We're going there to be near Him, to be drawn into His love, to be refreshed, to be renewed. We're going to meet Him, to be reminded who we are and what really matters in life. We're drawing nigh to Him, and the discipline of confession, the discipline of cleansing, is the best and proper way to prepare for that. But we're not to stay there gloating. No, we're to then be unashamed of our hope. We're not just people who are living for the good in the sweet by and by, but we're then to encourage one another to be diligent and faithful in the assembling of the saints, to love, to minister, to encourage, to be representatives of Jesus Christ, to stimulate, to love and to good works, to leave friends, fellow believers, better than we found them, to take the moment to listen, to prepare our heart, to be able to share from your word or from our experience an encouraging truth, to express love, to be Jesus as fully as we are capable, Jesus in our own skin. That's what the book of Hebrews wants us to do, Father. It's very clear. Help us to do it. And as we study about the alternative next week, help us to avoid those things like the plague that they are. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're so glad that you care. You really care. We're so glad for the grace that is ours, based upon the merits of your work, based upon the results of your ministry for us. We thank you for the incredible out of this world future that's ours through Jesus. And we thank you that you want us to be your ambassadors here now. Forgive us for our selfishness. Forgive us for our lack of diligence to these things. Give us a renewed view of your body and how much you love those believers and how much you've given for them, and create within us that same sense. And then help us to interact in ways that will make the dying world envious of your grace and love. Thank you, Jesus, for your promises. Thank you, we know you're coming. We know you're coming soon. Help us to live in the light of that imminent, present possibility. Your head's bowed and your eyes are closed. If tonight, if perchance the Spirit of God has spoken in some way to your heart and there's an attitude you need to confess, go ahead, confess it. Just talk to Him. If there's someone you need to go to and restore fellowship, might even be your wife, your child, your husband. Ask God for the strength and the grace and mercy to do it and to do it cheerfully. If there's someone you know that's hurting within the body of Christ, discouraged, burdened down, lift them. Sincerely lift them in prayer to our Savior. And ask the Spirit of God to minister to them. And if you feel the impulse to do a good work, something that would light somebody's fire, or something that would lift somebody's heart, or something that would fill another believer's whole being with warmth and encouragement, plan to do it. Plan to do it. And if you've been unfaithful, indifferent, careless in your participation in your local church, ask Jesus to graciously move your heart and to fill you with passion to be there. And tonight, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God has no alternative. There is no other salvation. There is no other access to heaven. There is no other way to be forgiven. There's absolutely no way you can be transformed and changed apart from personal faith in Jesus Christ. And I urge you, I beg you, to ask Him, Jesus Christ, to come into your heart, into your life, to give you His forgiveness of sin, and to place His Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, within your life, within your heart. Do it. Do it now. And Father, we know that You will hear that prayer, and Your Word assures us You will faithfully answer that prayer to bring glory to Yourself. Thanks for this time together, with this wonderful group. Bless them. Help us to become models of New Testament believers as are described here in this book of Hebrews. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord, the final day, the true day following this long night, we'll also see the love of many growing cold. We can choose to forsake or to encourage, the author of Hebrews tells us. Today we heard the final segment of Jim's sermon that we began last week called Where Forgiveness Rules, Part 2. To receive a CD containing the entire talk, please send a gift of $7 or more. We've built a convenient collection of sermons on the book of Hebrews and called it God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. For your donation of $69 or more, you can get all 20 CDs. If one of your New Year's resolutions was to reach more people with the gospel this year, you can do that by helping us here at Right Start. From Ohio to New Zealand and many places in between, we're sowing the seed of the word. A one-time gift would be great, but why not make it a regular part of your giving? Connect with us by mail at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA, or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And find us on the web at rightstartradio.org. You can make a secure donation online. And we have a lot more ways to minister to you there. You can play Right Start radio programs, listen to complete sermons without the edits for broadcast. You can download the sermons and follow the link to the podcast, all free and all at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Time is short. We believe we need to be ready to go with Jesus, but we also need to be ready to stay. You have need of endurance, as we'll read next time. Please be with us for tomorrow's edition of Right Start.